Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service on the second day, second Sunday in Lent, the last day of February, and just welcome you here. It's been a long week, and sometimes like an island that you see in the distance, we swim towards Sunday, knowing that when we get there, we will be met by the blessed Savior himself, for he promised us that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in our midst. So we're here, needing and desiring to be here. Just want to draw your attention to the announcements in the bulletin, but are there any announcements that anyone would like to highlight before we move into prayer requests? Okay, seeing none on the prayer requests, I'd like to start with a couple, and then we'll open it up. Talked with Robert Wright. He did go home yesterday from the hospital. He is going to quarantine for a couple weeks, of course. He sounded great yesterday and his old self. I called him this morning right before the service, and I could tell by the phone he could barely breathe. And he was refusing to go back to the hospital. He said he'd rather die than go back. And I told him, Don't give yourself those two options. I called his doctor, who is a mutual friend, and he is going to follow up with Robert, so let's keep Robert in our prayers. How is Frankie? Any word on her?
Not yet.
Okay, so let's keep Webb's brother, John, his mother-in-law, Frankie, in our prayers. We understand she's off any treatment, life support, anything now. So it'll just be a moment of time. Let's also keep, and we worship a God that there's no degree of difficulty or concern. His love is complete. He knows not only the measure of your days, but the number of your hairs. So there's nothing unimportant to him that cares about his children. And in light of that, we want to keep Sue Rossiter in our prayers. Her little pup dog, Mitzi, has been having some difficulties, is in intensive care now. I'm talking to Sue last night. They're trying some treatments. Basically, the way I understand it, some of the enzymes in her are turning against themselves, the antibodies, and just we need to keep them in prayer. Sue is not here today. She's not feeling well. So let's keep Sue in our prayers. And then one final one, Dave Gardner sent that his cousin in California that we prayed for, you may remember about a year ago, he had a fairly severe motorcycle accident, Bruce Leinberger. We need to continue to keep Bruce in our prayers. As you can see, we have five different families mentioned for prayer of people that have been lost this past week, transitioned to the church victorious, ranging in age from 45 to 95. And so let's keep all of these families that are listed here in our prayers. Any other items of prayers? Yes, ma'am, Carrie.
I just want to pray for my friends, Ian and Carrie. Carrie lost his aunt to COVID, and they went down this weekend. Pray for safe travels. They're headed back today. I'm sure it's very hard.
So Carrie is a male?
Male.
Okay, so Carrie's aunt. Okay. Thank you. How about your Aunt Andy? Have you heard anything more from Andy?
She started a 48 trial chemo, so I haven't heard anything. We're just praying that she would not get through the surgery. That's all we know right now.
Yes, ma'am. And you got to see her this week, didn't you?
Yeah, first time in 3 years that I've spoken and seen my mom. We had dinner together with my brother-in-law, so she got to meet them for the first time.
Praise God for that. We'll keep her in prayer. Thank you, Gwen. Anyway, yes, sir, David.
I just learned this morning that my daughter Jennifer is in the ER with back problems. I talked to her husband this morning, and it sounds like the same thing I had with degenerated disc, and we don't know if she's going to be. She's under some medicine now. They're trying to get the pain down so they can scan her. And so, anyway, I understand what she's going through. Anybody with back pain, it's terrible stuff.
So her name is Jennifer?
Jennifer.
We'll keep David's daughter Jennifer in prayer. She's in Florida, right?
Right.
Would you like me to make a pastoral visit?
Knock yourself out.
We'll go. All right. Any others? Any others in prayer? Oh, thanks. Yes, Mom.
So the reason that my parents' names are on here is my mother is early stage Alzheimer's, and this week she has asked my dad a lot, could you tell me where my husband is? And at first, he seemed to just giggle, but had that pained look on his face. And then I think toward the end of the week, he was kind of getting annoyed, but she just will repeat things over and over. And when I hung the crosses on the door for Easter, she said, when we get ready to go back to my home, can I take those with me? And I said, Mama, your next home is going to be in heaven. You're in your home. And I said, do you want me to put them in the casket with you? And she said, I sure do. She's got a great attitude, but I just wish you would hold up my dad, because I think that has hurt his feelings this week because she doesn't know it's him.
We sure will, Mama. Yes, even when you intellectually know why someone's not remembering you, it still hurts when they can't. And so, draw your attention about an inch and a half from the bottom, Dr. Jim and Sue Henry. Let's keep Mo's parents in our prayers, and we serve them. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to just take a few moments at the beginning of that as we can remember these that we've listed that have passed, and others that we're not aware of. But mercifully, our Father is always aware in remembrance of those. So let's just have a moment, and then we'll go into prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the solace of coming into your house. Like the psalmist, like our Lord, the passion to come into your house burns within us. We hunger and we are glad when we can enter into your courts to sing your praises, to be with your people, to find the strength that only comes from your presence. We know, because your word tells us so, that we have your presence at all times. We have your presence on the mountains when the heavens so clearly demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. We also know that we have your presence when we're walking through a valley that's dark and lonely, when we see no light, but we remember in the darkness what we heard in the light, and that is that you are ever with us, Emmanuel. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can gather in your name to celebrate that presence. And our hearts do go out for these on our list, these on our concerns and our hearts. We pray in particular for Frankie as she is in the last stages of her physical life. I just pray that you'll be with John, be with Beth, be with all the family. We pray that you would be with Sue as she's struggling physically, but also as she's, her concern and worry is for her companion, Mitzi. Just may the healing properties that you have created in all creatures be operative and bring Mitzi to health. We pray that you would be with Robert. We pray that you'll just continue to work healing in him. Just help him to be open for the treatment that is necessary for his well-being. I pray that you'll be with Bruce. I pray that you'll continue to strengthen him. Be with Carrie's friend Carrie and the loss of his aunt and the entire family. We pray that you'd be with Gwen's mom. Thank you for an opportunity for Gwen and her mom to be together. We know, for it's the last promise that we have in the Old Testament, that you are the God that turns the hearts of the parents to the child and the child to the parents. And we just cling to that promise. We also pray that you'd be with her health issues. I pray that you would be with Mona's parents. We pray that you would be with Sue. We thank you for her faith that holds steady even as her mental facilities are waning. We just thank you for your hold on her. We pray that you would encourage her husband. We just pray that in the loneliness of seeing his wife passing almost daily, it seems at times, we just pray that you'll encourage Jim. May he rest upon you. We also would lift up David's daughter Jennifer with her back pain. We just pray that you'll bring some relief there. We pray that some solution would be found that would be the easiest and most efficient. Give her comfort in that. We just thank you that we are not helpless nor hopeless. For we know where to turn in times of difficulty. It doesn't take the pain away, but it allows us to rest in the hands that hold us through the storm, knowing that joy comes in the morning. And if it's not joyous, it's not the morning yet, but it's coming. So we hold on to your good promise, following the path of our Savior, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. We pray in his holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit.
Amen. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in his name receives forgiveness of sins through that very name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the insert, we will call one another to worship using the latter half of Psalm 22, responsibly by whole verse. Praise the Lord, you that fear him. Stand in awe of him, O offspring of Israel, all you of Jacob's line, give glory.
For he is not despised, nor glorious, nor in poverty, neither does he hide his face from them.
My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
Lord, shall he be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart praise God.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall bow before him. To him alone all who sleep in the earth bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him. They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done.
To be God to you and to your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations, kings of peoples shall come from her.
In Christ Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Enough said. And we simply respond with gratitude. So be it. Amen. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
and that eternal. Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. What beautiful music we've heard today. Sarah, you didn't know this or don't know this, but of the three hymns I want at my funeral, "Be Thou My Vision" is one of them. So live long and healthy, because you might be attacked. Thank you for that. Mona, thank you. And for all the talent in our congregation, we are sufficiently gifted within ourselves to be the church of God through Him alone. Let us pray. Our gracious God, may we hear Your Word and Your Word alone. By the power of the Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts and our minds to hear Your Word. May mine simply be handmaids to that. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Reminiscing can be a comforting thing, but reminiscing can also be a humbling thing. When you look at pictures from styles and hairdos and other things that you used to have, or listen to sermons or see things that you've done in the past, it can be humbling. Some of you know that over the past month, I've been weeding out the books I have, and I have a few, to give to a church in the area that is establishing a large library. And going through there, I had two responses, because it was sort of an emotional thing to purge. The first response I had, and I owe all of you an apology, any of you that have ever helped pack or move those books, I apologize that I didn't purge prior to you packing and moving them. So apologies given. The other thing is, it was humbling. It was humbling for me to see a history of my thinking. And I came across, and it reminded me of a stage I went through, unfortunately applauded by the church at large. It was cutting edge. It was right where everyone said I should have been. But when I looked at it, I was chagrined. And that is, I went through a period where, unfortunately, 25 years ago, I spent far more time in strategic planning than I did in Bible reading and prayer. And I was reminded when I went through all of these books by the leading leadership gurus and religious and non-religious and all saying the same thing. I even found, and I kept it for my own humiliation factor, this huge arrow that I had purchased, where I had written all my goals for the coming 10, 15, 20 years, and then all the subsequent goals. And it's beautiful to look at, and quite ignorant in another way. And I'd like to tell you that I got rid of that phase of strategic planning and thinking that my future was in my hands, if I could just plan my work and work my plan. I would like to tell you I got over that by reading the preponderance of scriptures that tell us how foolish that is, because there's a ton of them. From James telling us, don't boast about what you're going to do tomorrow. From Jesus saying, take no thought about tomorrow. From Proverbs saying, don't boast about tomorrow. I would like to tell you that I converted, I repented through the reading of scripture. The truth of the matter is, I just got tired. I got exhausted learning that it didn't work. That it might look good on paper, but it doesn't play out in reality. That old saying that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And besides not working out, besides making the Almighty chuckle, it leaves us hollow. Because we tied our visions to specific playing of our life, and it doesn't work out that way. So, what I've decided is give up many goals and adopt one. Let go of the many and focus upon the one. And trust that the one can take care of the details. And we see this played out in our little passage of pericope in Matthew today. If you'll look with me, today's just is a very simple but profound passage of scripture. It begins by a simple conversation. They're walking along in a particular city, and the context is important here. They're in Caesarea Philippi, about 25 miles north, right at the source of the Jordan. And Caesarea Philippi was a city where any good and devout Jew would not go. It's hard to come up with a city, maybe Vegas or something. It's one of those cities where someone who was devout in their faith to Yahweh would not go. It had been first built by Augustus as a city in honor of the god Pan. It was rebuilt by Philip in around 4 B.C., right before the birth of Christ. It was rebuilt by Philip to honor Caesar. There was a huge temple for the worship of Baal there. This was just a very chaotic, cosmopolitan town, city, where they were confused. They had so many options of who to worship, who to pay homage to, what was important in life, that they didn't know what to follow. Like G.K. Chesterton, in the denial of the one true God, they didn't become atheists, they became polytheists, and they traded one God for a thousand. And they didn't know who to worship. And in the midst of this context, Jesus simply asked the question, who am I? Who am I? And I'm going to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that you hear that question today, and it's the most important question you'll ever interact with. Who is Jesus Christ? They first answer what the men say. And whenever Mark uses the word men in his gospel, he uses it flavored in a way to speak of those that have not been privileged or gifted with the gift of illumination. He often will refer to them as outsiders or the faithless. Just the general non-believing crew. Who do men say? But that wasn't what Jesus really pointed. So he asked again, who do you say that I am? Who is it that you confess me to be? And Peter, as Peter often does, gets it right. We focus on Peter, his impetuousness, getting it wrong. But he got it right. And he confesses, you are the Christ. You are the one appointed by God through whom God will accomplish his promise to his people. Now, he doesn't say, in other Gospels he does, here in Mark, he doesn't yet say, you are the Son of God. We have to wait until a pagan centurion, the soldier at the cross, will confess in chapter 15, truly this was the Son of God. But here, Peter gets it right. But he only gets it half right. And he's going to be rebuked. He gets right who Jesus is. But he gets wrong how Jesus operates. Brothers and sisters, before we criticize Peter too badly, too stringently, don't we do that often? I know I do. I get the who. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I get the who. I know that God is the only true God. I understand and I pray to and I believe the who. But maybe I'm the only one in the room. I sometimes struggle with the how. Sometimes I don't like how he works. And Peter says this. He says, you're not going to go to the cross. And he begins to rebuke Jesus. And the Greek is so stringent that he just basically takes Jesus to the side. He had enough common courtesy not to rebuke him in front of everyone. He takes Jesus to the side and he uses the same term that's used of rebuking demons. He's laying into Jesus saying, I know I just confessed you as the Christ, but you've got to understand that suffering is beneath you. You've got to understand that there's a better way. There's a more glorious way. There's an easier way. I forbid you to say that you are the Christ, yet you're going to suffer and be rejected and be killed. And Jesus says, I must be. I must be. I must, we see in verse 31, suffer. We need to understand that. Because there's much understanding in common thinking, even among some Christians, that somehow the death of Jesus Christ was a martyr. Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus' death wasn't accidental. Jesus' death wasn't some vicious injustice. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't this thing that was outside of the control of God. And when we think it is, we're confessing a little bit like Peter, that suffering and crucifixion is beneath the type of God that we want at the center of our thinking. Brothers and sisters, at the center of our thinking, and this is why it's so scandalous, we have a God who's crucified. A God who's crucified. Now, let's look a little further at Peter, not my seeking to defend him and show how we're like Peter. Let's cut Peter a little bit more slack. He shouldn't have known anymore because the Old Testament scriptures speak of the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the anointed one, as being a prophet. Forget that. The scriptures speak of the coming Messiah being a priest who would make sacrifice and be sacrificed for us. The scriptures speak of a king. But the scriptures that Peter were nurtured on, the Old Testament scriptures, don't mention that the coming Messiah would be crucified. In fact, the scriptures that Peter were nursed on, the scriptures that Peter learned, the ones that he were devout to, said that it was cursed to die on a cross. But even more than that, let's just look at it culturally. We're having a Messiah. And sometimes, let me back up and step to the side to do a little teaching. We need to be careful when we read scripture that we don't collapse everything into a neat little story. It had context, it had development, it had history and a broader picture. So we need to understand that when Jesus came on the scene, the people of Israel had not had a king for 600 years. For 600 years, the people of Israel had not had a king. They had had a alien ruler, one who was an enemy ruling over them. So now Peter is rightfully upset because he's thinking, okay, God is finally bringing us a king after 600 years, but it's a dead king. It's a king that's going to be weak, a king that's going to be despised, a king that's going to be rejected. We don't want, when we're in trouble, for weakness. We want strength and glory. I don't want to watch a Western where I'm confused. I want to know that when my hero shows up, when my king shows up, it's John Wayne or Clint Eastwood. I don't want Don Knotts and the shakiest gun in the West showing up as my king. Do you follow me? I'm not trying to be blasphemous. I'm trying to put it into context how Peter struggled that with this disconnect that I know that you're the one, but this how you're going to do it doesn't seem to fit. And the reason it's important isn't just to look at Peter, because we have that same struggle in our daily lives, don't we? We pray, and we know to whom we pray. We know the who, but we struggle with the how. And the words that Jesus, out of love, says to Peter, he says, get behind me. Get behind me. Now, I want you to think through this, because he goes from saying, get behind me, to a talking about discipleship. Get behind me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's all part of getting behind me. In other words, what Jesus is telling Peter is, don't let your best thinking lead. Don't put your thoughts out first. Don't take your plans, your strategies, your creativity, and put it out front. Peter, Sally, James, Tom, all of us, get behind me. Get behind me. One thing that many of us do and some don't, culturally, I've been doing it since I was a student years ago in a college that was a Baptist college, and I was the only one doing it, and I guess I took some perverse delight in sticking out, but I've always, since I was a teenager, crossed myself. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to get into whether you go three fingers, two fingers, right, left. The basic point is, I've always felt it appropriate to put myself behind the most precious symbol that I know of. We sort of, growing up, if we didn't grow up Roman, we resisted it because we just saw it as sort of a lucky thing to do before a baseball game or before you take the plate. We just saw it used in inappropriate ways. But we understand the nature of gesture, don't we? We understand a pump fist or a raised fist or a high five, the peace sign. But let me suggest to you that when times are really tough, it's not enough for us just to cross our fingers and hope. It's not enough for us to take a clenched fist and say, I can get through this. It's not enough for us to high-five those important people and think, together we can do it. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to just say, get behind Jesus Christ and follow how He leads, whether I understand it or not. I'm not like a highfalutin preacher this morning. I've got a prop. It's a rope. All that we need to know in discipleship is this rope. If I lay this rope on the table, there's no way in the world I could push this rope with any success, if I try to push this rope forward, it's going to be as frustrating as my big bad arrow that listed how I wanted to push my life. But I can pull this rope all I want to. And guess what? If I lay this on the ground and start pulling this rope, where's the rope going to go? Everywhere I pull it. It's as simple as that, brothers and sisters, and as difficult as that. We get behind Jesus Christ. We renounce self. We deny self. And that is simply in Greek meaning turn it off. You worried that you left the gas on in the house? Just turn it off. Daily, turn off all this best thinking you've got and let Christ pull you. Follow Him. And He will lead us, not only through life, but into all eternity. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Glory to you, God of Abraham and Sarah, for you have hold every hope of redemption, and upon you rest eternity. In every age you have called your people to receive your blessing by faith, trusting not their own righteousness, but the promise that rests forever on your grace. In Christ you came to bear the weight of our sins, carry our offenses, and take up the hope of our salvation. And through your power, the cross he bears across his shoulders has become for us the resurrection and the life. And so, your people on earth and all the company in heaven, we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord,
God of power and life.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Renewing God, through the cross of Christ, you redeem our failures by welcoming us to the feast of the forgiven. As there is nothing we can give you in return for our life, so now send your Holy Spirit to meet us in the grace of this meal. And send your Spirit upon this body and this bread and this wine. May they be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith." Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Saying, "God, show your church the path of life. Give every one of your children courage and wisdom, to take up their cross and follow you. Stretch every heart with compassion for the heavy burdens their neighbors carry, and transform all who are weighed down to become carriers of one another's burdens. Come alongside any who shoulder heavy cares alone, and give them companions in walking each step. Take upon yourself the suffering of all who bear impossible weights at the demand of another, are forced to labor or given no rest, and to all that is bowed low in sin or weighed down by struggle, is lifted up and carried by your grace and transcended in your glory, ever reigning God, forever one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The beauty of seeing life as Christ has outlined it for Peter and for us is like Paul, once we see that our difficulties are those vehicles in which God brings us our grace, we no more say, take it away, take it away. We rather say, we'll glory then in those things that make us dependent. Or as the Baptist pastor said, Charles Spurgeon, I've learned to kiss those waves that crash me against the rock of ages. So we learn to kiss those things in life that drive us to this table, where we hear that precious promise from Christ that I'll meet you here. And as you take my very body, my very blood, you drink healing unto yourself. So brothers and sisters, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to receive the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. By His stripes we are healed. He says the word, and we are made well. Drink ye all of it. Thank you, our Father, for the gift of your Son, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that enables us to see as you would see, to live as you lived, and to set our sights on the one, the only one, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forever. Amen.
who is able to keep us from stumbling, to present us faultless before the throne, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.